for the heavy topics, we go over to Archie. And we asked you a question earlier on, and the question was quite simple. It was, you know, when you leave school, what legacy would you like to leave behind by way of what things would you offer people that are putting things in place for the next generation of young people to improve their lives at school and once they've left?
I think a very big part of it is the facilities that we're giving young people for them to be able to develop properly, not just fall into very specific demographics of people, but to be able to develop into their own person. And so if they're given support by means of in school so far, I think we have places for people to go if they have mental health issues, but I don't think we have the same kind of support for people who are going through either things like gender dysphoria, or I believe it's gender dysphoria, or sexuality issues, anything like that. I think it's harder for people with gender and sexuality issues to find the same kind of support in a school setting than people with mental health issues. And so I think if I could have if I could put forward one thing, I think primarily it would be about helping people to better find their own identity, because then that can allow people to be more sure of themselves and be more willing to better themselves, I think.
Do you know, it's fascinating talking to you, because you never cease to fail us with if you want a topic, go and see Archie. No offence, I don't mind talking about Formula One, but I just think that you raise a fascinating point, and yeah. You raise a good point too, because things have changed so much over the last few years, and yes, we're becoming a bit more open, a bit more transparent, and a bit involving all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. And we're still kind of using the same sort of methods in schools as we were. And, there are a number of changes. There are a number of people that are going through things, and it's not going to be picked up because people don't know enough about it, I guess, yet. We're all open. I'm open to learning from people so that we can put different things in place and help people and pave the way. And I think that's important that we do that. You raise a really, really good point, and it's something that we can't just talk about in 5-10 minutes. That's a whole hour's worth and some. Mm. But you've raised a good topic. So what are you going to do about it? So you sound like the voice of people, school, and so on. What have you mentioned this to others?
I haven't mentioned it yet. We have got some. I know very, very recently there's been at Ride Academy something called Ride Pride, I think, which is a place for members of the LGBTQ community to go to. But I don't know much about it myself. I haven't ever gone. But outside of that, I think...
Can I ask why?
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't really know, to be honest.
The reason why I'm interested, I'm not trying to trip you up, I'm not trying to make out that, you're having a tough time and people put pressure on you and so on and so forth. I just think to myself, sometimes you got to stand up, sometimes you got to, it would be lovely if we lived in a world where we didn't have to campaign, it was just the norm, you know? People are people and that's that. Accept it. Move on.
Like, one of the biggest issues with it is that things like... homophobia and transphobia, it's still such a present issue. Like even recently I've heard people using slurs, so me and my friends are walking down this road, three people walk the other way, and just they start using homophobic remarks for no reason, and it's just that level of homophobia ingrained in, they were maybe 15. And the fact that they are then so comfortable using those kinds of remarks in public to people they don't know is, I think, one of the biggest problems with, I mean, it shows one of the biggest problems with how they're being educated, really. I mean, that's one of the biggest issues with the school system. It brings it back to the question you asked. People should be educated on these things, and they should be educated on what these remarks can cause, and what and how some people can respond very negatively to these remarks, and how it can affect their mental health. And like, people aren't able to better accept themselves if others are making them feel like they're wrong for doing so, I think.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that when we said we had a subject to talk about. I mean, you obviously, it affected you to hear that and see that. I look at life a little bit differently.
Mm.
I look at those kids and think, poor you. You're an idiot.
Mm.
You know, you're not the most intelligent person in the world, are you? What year is it? It's 2022. That kind of attitude was around in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, things are moving on. You ought to grow up a little bit. That's the way that I would, you know, treat it, look at it. And maybe that's just a mechanism in me that wants to just turn it around and see the positive in it. The positive in it is that it's not going to get under your skin. You just see them for what they are. Who's the idiot here?
Mm.
They are. I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, I think it's... Because it's really unfortunate, because I think they're a product of their environment. And so, like, it's they've been obviously hanging around with people that are homophobic, and then as they grow up, and people start hanging out with them and hearing all these things from them, it's a very vicious cycle that's going to continue until we can, you know, put the kibosh on it, really. I mean, there's not much we can do with them being, like, outside of an academic setting, being, like, out in public in these groups. But I think if we can just try and give them a basis of knowledge for it, they can hopefully, you know, figure it out for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be something. He just needs to be educated.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. You need a little bit of education. And so going back to the whole point of this is, I mean, we go back, even probably today, our world is set up male, female.
Mm.
You go into schools, it always used to be boys' toilets, girls' toilets, that was it.
Yeah.
Things have changed, and we need to modernise. Do you think that... Because I've had a real bee in my bonnet this year about the size of schools these days, and I just think the size of schools these days doesn't allow us to fix things that you've just mentioned, because it's too big.
Yeah.
It's too big to fix. Now, no one wants to see, like, a segregation of, well, if you're that, you go to that school, if you're that, you go... We're never going to learn anything, and that's wrong. But to help people, maybe things need to be a little bit smaller. So I look at... And this is the reason why I'm saying I've got a bee in my bonnet. It's sort of to do with what you're talking about.
Yeah.
If the problem's too big and there's too many people, you're never going to solve it, or you're going to struggle to solve it. But how many kids go to your school?
Maybe 2,500, 3,000 almost, something like that.
I was not expecting that.
It's definitely over... I feel like it's definitely over 2,000 people.
That must be the biggest school on the island for intake of young people.
I think it is
that, like, all the time, like, you hear the teacher say, like, the year groups are full up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
2,000 plus.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Now this is why I get the ump, okay? And to me this is common sense. What have we had over the last couple of years? A pandemic.
Mm.
Where, you know, increased numbers in crowds and so on increases chances of not catching just COVID, but other things as well. You look on the Isle of Wight. Now, when I was your age, I was left school, working in a factory, okay? And if you look at all the factories that are around us, and there were quite a number of factories back then that were all employing hundreds and hundreds of people. Just say, for instance, Plessy in Northwood, when I worked there, they had something like 1,800 people there, working there. Okay, it's a big, big factory, it's a big place, and so on. Lots of people. There were lots of people at BHC, what it was called then. Lots of people. I'll get to the point in a minute, because I can see you nodding off over there. But so all these factories, all housing people that are working in their hundreds, and in some cases, thousands.
Yeah.
Okay. none of those factories, or some of those factories have gone to the wall, and some of those factories are still going. None of those factories have those kind of numbers working in their factory anymore.
Yeah.
But we're quite happy to send young people into areas where there are 2,000 people supposedly getting you ready to work in a factory. You know, supposedly getting you ready to work in that kind of environment. And I look at that and I think that's what needs modernising. We're not prepared to work in those numbers ourselves because a lot of people are working from home now, so they don't have to. And if you look at the way things are with the viruses that are going around, COVID and so on, there'll be other things as well, colds, coughs, flus, all those kind of things. All we keep doing is sending, and we're happy to do so, I'm not, here you go, 2,500 kids, you all get together and get whatever it is you're going to get today, whether it's a cold or a bug or something, and just to safeguard ourselves, or not so much safeguard us, make ourselves feel better. We'll say, yeah, but it's they got to go through that. That's it's character building, and we're getting them ready for. I have to just think the whole thing needs modernising.
Yeah,
The whole, and I don't think anybody would be brave enough to do it. I mean, we mentioned the other day about having the opportunity to do things like, if you're a YouTuber, show you how it all works. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the sort of thing, that's business now. You know, if you're a gamer, people might not like it, old people might not like it, but anybody 50 plus might say, come on, get yourself a proper job.
And there are people making millions just streaming. So like, there are, like, XQC, I think, one is one of the biggest streamers making so much money sat there playing games and streaming, and it's such a massive form of media consumption now. I mean, the numbers they get on their streams, it's thousands upon thousands of people just sat there watching this guy play video games,
and they're not in a factory.
No,
they're just not spreading germs or giving everyone COVID and coughs and stuff.
Just sat at home,
Living
their best life.
Exactly. It makes me so cross. And now I'm even more. You've wound me up now, because that 2,500 people. You know, if that's even if it's 2,000, that's a lot more than most of the. I mean, at Newport Schools, I think there was something like 600 or 700 at Carisbrook. Not sure what Medina is.
Medina's pretty big, I think.
So there's a lot of. But even so, you're sending people into big areas now.
Yeah.
And we've not learnt our lesson. How many times are we? You know, in the next few weeks, are we going to hear? Oh, he's off school because he's got COVID. Mm-hmm. He's off school because he's got the flu. Oh, he's got a really bad cough at the moment, or he's got a bug of sorts. It's because there's too many people going into, and the people that making this decision, these decisions, say that's okay. Mm. They're not doing that.
Mm.
They're not prepared to go into areas where there are 2,000 people and work.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had so many kids in this. It's sat where you are talking about Carisbrook and coming out of corridors. And all of a sudden, everyone else is changing lessons at the same time. Yeah. So you're spreading all these things around. All it needs is something, some kind of common sense where you stagger lessons, which is what they were doing during lockdown.
Yeah.
And you think you took that away.
Yeah,
now.
That worked.
Because before COVID, it was, I think it was like tutor was at the beginning of the day, and then all of the years had break and lunch at the same time.
Yeah.
But now there's morning tutor and afternoon tutor, and then each one's followed by break and lunch. And so they could have half of the years in tutor and half at break, and then they swap them around so it's not like overcrowding the areas, and they do the same at lunch. So they're starting to be able to actually operate with these kinds of numbers. But I mean, if you walk out into those corridors during, like, between lessons, it is such an insane amount of people. Like, the corridors are, like, congested. There is, because you have to, they implement a system where you keep left in corridors and on stairwells to keep things moving. But even then, I mean, coming out of lessons, there is, like, a dead halt of just this massive block of people stood by the stairs waiting to be able to move because there's just not enough space.
So it's fair to say then, the whole thing, there's just too many people and you're not going to resolve all the issues. And the people that need support, backing, and the people that need educating, they're never going to be supported in the way that they need to be supported. And, and certain people are never going to be educated in the way that they need to be educated. So it just causes a knock-on problem. That's the way we've always done it, so people will say, and you think, well, that's, you're always going to get the same old problems then, aren't you?
If you're dealing with numbers like those, I mean, unless it's a very extreme case, the people that need help aren't going to get it. Like, unless either it's like something like quite bad has happened in the school building, like fights have broken out or someone has been using that kind of language in the school very publicly, nothing's going to be done about it because the school doesn't actually, like, know it's happening.
Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you for that. Really appreciate it.